Okay, so again, we will continue in the split sermon now, and looking at the chronological order of the events that took place after they went and out to the Mount of Olives. We pick up the story, and you might want to bookmark Matthew 26 and 27, Luke 22 and 23, and John 18. It might be good if for you put down one of the points and then the main scripture, and then we'll be reading most of this today. So let's start where we left off. In Matthew 26, they had sung a hymn, and in verse 31, Matthew 26, verse 31. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep and the flock will be scattered." So he quotes another scripture from the Old Testament, in this case, Zechariah 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. But he says, after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And that's interesting what happens even after his death and his resurrection. All of that is quite interesting how he appear to them after his resurrection. But Peter said, "If all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus once again tells him that you will deny me three times. And what's interesting, in verse 35, all of them said that I will not deny you. And so said all at the end of verse 35. Jesus then prays three times for this cup to be removed. And we find that section here in verse 36. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit down while I pray over there." And he took Peter and James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, watch with me." And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, "Oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He was human, even though he was the Son of God. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and again said to Peter, "What, couldn't you wait with me? Watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So again, he went a second time. But what's also interesting is, after his first prayer, Luke adds an extra statement showing that an angel appeared to him. And that's not found here in Matthew or the other accounts, but Luke says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. And it says in Luke that he prayed such that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Not that it was, but it was like that. So it shows the intensity of his prayer, and that's found in Luke. In verse 40, then, we see that verse 41, he goes on to say, verse 41, watch and pray. And he goes and says in verse 42, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And that was constantly his refrain, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep, and he said to them again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." So Jesus knew that even after he prayed those three times, he knew he would have to go through it because the betrayer was there, as prophesied would happen. And he would truly need to endure his suffering and death. So now we come to the betrayal. The betrayal by Judas. And this is in John 18. Keep our place back in Matthew. Let's look at John 18, verse 2. John 18, verse 2. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place where they were. For Jesus often met there with his disciples. And Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he said unto them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, stood there with him. So, I am he. The same phraseology that was used to Moses in the burning bush, I am. Now, when he said, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. And he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then there was the kiss, the betrayal, and now the kiss. We go back to, again, Matthew 26, verse 48. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Immediately went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, called him friend. Well, remember, they were together for 3.5 years. They lived together, worked together. He did not call him an enemy. "My friend, why have you come?" In Luke's account, it says that Jesus says to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Question mark that Luke brings out. Now we come to the event of the sword. The sword. We'll stay here in Matthew for a moment, but Luke starts off by saying that those who were around him saw what was going to happen, that he was going to be arrested. And they asked him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" So Matthew 26, verse 51, now continues. Suddenly, one of those who were Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, in John's account, it says that the servant's name was Malchus. That's interesting, as what we'll see a little later. Keep that in mind. The servant had a name. His name was Malchus. And that's found in John's account. And Peter is told by Christ to put up the sword. And he asks Peter, "Shall I not drink of the cup which my Father has given me?" So that's in John's account. In Luke's account, Luke has it where Jesus said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. So you have to add Luke and Matthew and John, and then we come here to verse 52. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So that in itself was a temptation that Jesus had to pull back from, not to call for those 12 legions of angels, but it had to happen this way. Now we come to the arrest. The arrest. Now John's account starts by saying the detachment of troops and the captain arrested Jesus and bound him. And so we continue in verse 55 here in Matthew. Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, but you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And notice they all forsook him and fled. Luke's account says, this is your hour, and this is the power of darkness. Now, let's keep our place in Matthew, and let's look at the trial. The trial had a number of phases. The first phase was with Annas, a high priest. And this is only found in John's account. So John 18, verse 13. We'll just read through here. It's kind of interesting what we come across in this account in John 18, verse 13. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Incredible that he actually said that. And notice this, Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. We often think it was just Peter. Now that disciple was known to the high priest. So John knew the high priest, and the high priest knew John, and John went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter, where did Peter? Peter stood, verse 16, at the door outside. Then the disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So John goes out and brings Peter in to the courtyard. And the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not. I am not a disciple." Now, this is a denial. He denied being a disciple. It's a little bit different than the other three denials that he had toward Jesus Christ. But we see he denied being a disciple. So, it goes on here in verse, let me see, make sure I pick this up right. The high priest, verse 19, "The high priest then asked Jesus and his disciples about his doctrine. And Jesus said, 'I spoke openly to the world. I've taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews have always met, and in secret I've said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know not what they know what I said.' And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like this?' And Jesus answered, 'If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?'" So here you have this incident of being struck by someone's hand. So we then go to the second phase of the trial, and this was with Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, which was with Caiaphas, and this is found back in Matthew 26, So let's look at Matthew 26, verse 59. Now this is early in the morning, very early yet. And the chief priests and the elders and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Now, as we go through here, think about what Jesus is listening to and hearing, and the confusion and the hypocrisy of what's being said. So, many bore false witnesses. At last, two witnesses came forward, verse 60, and said that this fellow said, "I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." Remember what we saw earlier, his first Passover, what he said. It wasn't about the temple, it was about his body. And the high priest arose and said, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify you against?" And Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the power of the hand of God and coming on the clouds of heaven." This sent them into a tither. The high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have witnesses? Look, now you've heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they said, "He is deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him, and the others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" So again, more attacks, personal, physical attacks against him. It's interesting that this sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven was actually noted in Psalm 110, verse 1, that he'd be sitting at the right hand of the Father. Even in Daniel 7, verse 13, is a reference there. So what you have now is this taking place, and Peter then denies Christ, beginning in verse 69, and here are the specific three denials. Peter sat outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," but he denied it before them, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." In other words, this is more profound of a lie, that "I don't know what you are saying. When I saw you, you were with Jesus. You were with him. I do not know." And then verse 71, when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said, those who were with him, "This fellow was with Jesus." And he denied it, saying, "I do not know the man. I do not know the man." And it's interesting as well, when you look at John's accounts, in John it says, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off. A relative of Malchus was right there and said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" So you have to add that in there. Here you have this relative as being one of the ones accusing him. And he then, with an oath, saying, "I do not know that man," in verse 72. Verse 73, a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. Your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. In Luke's account, it says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter then remembered the words of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly because he had done exactly what he said he would not do, but he fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus Christ. We now come to the third phase of this trial, and it's now before the Sanhedrin. This is later in the early morning, but the Sanhedrin is seated in Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 66. Luke 22, verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led them into the council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I ask, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, are you telling us then you are the Son of God? And he said, you rightly say that I am. They said, what further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. From his own mouth. It's at this time Jesus is being condemned by the Jewish authorities. And now Jesus is going to be led away to Pilate. But something else occurs before he's led away to Pilate, and that's in Matthew 27, verse 3. Remember Judas. He's watching all of this stuff going on, or is quite aware of it. Matthew 27, verse 3. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, and he was condemned by the Sanhedrin for blasphemy, calling himself the Son of God, to be led away to Pilate to be killed. He was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? The callousness of what was said. You see to it. He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. So this is the time where Judas commits suicide. And in Acts 1, it further describes that particular field. So now we come to John 18, verse 28. John 18, verse 28. You know, as we go through here, there's a lot going on with different personalities and different personages, and especially with what Jesus Christ is going through. He now is being led to Pilate. John 18. So we'll read through here. Verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was very early in the morning. But they said to themselves, they did not want to go into the praetorium lest they should be defiled, that they should eat the Passover. Here they were wanting to bring the innocent Jesus Christ to his death. Oh, but we don't want to go in there because we might be defiled before we eat the Passover, which they were going to eat later that night. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They said, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. And Pilate said, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which by signifying what death he would die. And Pilate entered the praetorium and he called Jesus and said, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you about this concerning me? And Pilate said, am I a Jew? Your own nation, your chief priests have delivered to me. What have you done? Now, Pilate is caught in a predicament because he knows what's going on with the Jewish leaders, and he, as we'll see, believes that Jesus is innocent. And so he's caught between. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," a famous verse, "if it were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." And Jesus and Pilate asked him, "Well, are you a king?" And Jesus said in verse 37, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate then said, "What is truth?" That question's being asked even today. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said, "I find no fault in him at all." It's interesting, in Matthew's account, it says that the chief priests accused him of many things, but he didn't answer, and Pilate was surprised. And Pilate said, "Well, you don't answer anything? See how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus didn't answer anything, and Pilate marveled. And in Luke's account, it says they were more fierce. The people were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people. He's teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." And once Pilate heard from Galilee, we now come to the next phase of this trial. He sends him to Herod. And we find that in Luke 23. And this is only found in Luke. This part of that day, only found in Luke. So let's look at Luke 23. And beginning in verse 6, Luke 23, verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the men were Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Well, sure, it was the holy days, Passover. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him. And he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him with a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. And that very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been in enmity with each other because they were on different sides of the government. One was Jewish and one was Roman, and now they became friends with one another. Then we come back to the next phase of this whole arrest, I mean the whole trial before Pilate, but this time this is the incident about the releasing of Barabbas. And we have to go back to Matthew. So let's look at Matthew 27, the releasing of Barabbas. Matthew 27, verse 15. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And that time there was a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Now, in Mark's account, it says Barabbas was chained with his fellow rebels because he had committed murder. So not only was he a criminal, he was, or a prisoner, he was a murderer. And John, in his account, says that Barabbas was a robber. So he's a thief. And then so Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who's called the Christ?" Because he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Now, this is interesting. This is only noted here in Matthew. While he's sitting on the judgment making a judgment. His wife sends him a note saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." His wife is telling him, don't get involved. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Okay, let's now look at Luke 23 and pick up the story here. Luke 23, verse 13. Luke 23, verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers, said to him, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning the things of which you accuse him. And neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him." Very clear. Herod and Pilate both saw that he was not guilty of death. So I will therefore chastise him and release him. Let's go down to verse 20. Verse 20. Pilate therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called to them, and they shouted, saying, "Crucify him," and crucifying him. Again, this mob rule and mentality, and you could just imagine the fervor that was going on at this point. And he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." So we come now to John 19, and this is the scourging, and then the calling for his crucifixion. John 19, verse 1. John 19, verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. This is early in the morning when this is going on. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know I have found no fault in him." How many times did he say that? And Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him," and said, "You take him, you crucify him, for I find no fault in him." So again, just seeing what was going on during this whole time. Now, we only find this in John 19. We don't find this in the other Gospels. John 19, beginning in verse 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." What in the world? They're using this blasphemy against him. Therefore, when Pilate heard that, he was more afraid. And he went into the praetorium and he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" And Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" That could have been another temptation for Christ to yield to Pilate, but he didn't. And Pilate said, "I have that power." And then Jesus answered and said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Then Pilate sought to release him. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." And Pilate therefore heard this saying, and he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. In verse 13. Now it was a preparation day, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest said, "We have no king but Caesar," which they wanted to get rid of all along. The Jewish people did not want to be under Roman rule. Again, mob mentality. So the sentence was given, and we find that in Matthew 27, starting in verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult, it's Matthew 27, verse 24, that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And this was a very wrong statement that the Jews made. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." And that's why we see continually this anti-Semitism throughout the world. And for many years, many Christians blamed the Jews for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when Jesus said, "All of us, all of our sins killed, we're all guilty of the blood and the body of Christ." And Luke says that Pilate gave sentence that it should be as requested, and they released the one they requested, for rebellion and for murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So a known criminal, a murderer, a robber was released, but Jesus was given to their will.